Ministries.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are so thankful that you have chosen to spend part of this Thursday with us. Pray that you are having a great day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. We would love to have you come and worship with us. And, I was talking to someone here not too long ago, and they said, Pastor, I just absolutely love your church. And we hope that that is the way that everybody feels whenever they get an opportunity to come and worship with us. We know this. There are a lot of different churches. I believe there's over 500 different churches in Brevard County. Surely there is one that is close to you that preaches the Word of God and that God has chosen that would be a tremendous place for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Make sure it is a church that preaches the Word and that it will equip you as a saint of God to do the work of the ministry. Find your place in the body of Christ and allow you to experience the joy of fulfilling your God-given purpose in life. We want to say thank you today to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any concrete work or block work done, you can give them a call. You'll probably speak with Greg. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio broadcast. They will do a great job for you, as they have done for me and our church through the years. And I just know they'll be a blessing to you. So give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell Greg you heard about them here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. I want to remind you that this coming Sunday, our service schedules are just a little bit different. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. Sunday night, we will be having our annual business meeting. And so everybody is welcome to come and hear of the great things that God did. Last year was our second best year attendance-wise. It was our second best year. And that was going a long time ago. I mean, so we've been growing, especially in the last half of the year. And then it was our second best year financially. It was our second best year of missions giving. It was a great year. We saw a number of people who gave their heart to Jesus. We just are looking forward to celebrating God's goodness and also pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. So that'll be Sunday night at 6:30, where we will be sharing that, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. There's always room for people to get involved in utilizing their gifts for God. So with that being said, I want to take you today to the Word of God, where we are going to be discussing these declarations that Pastor Craig Groeschel put together for him and for his church there in Oklahoma. It's a free resource, and if you'd like a copy of these, we're not touching on every one of these. Some of them we touched on during our discussion earlier a few weeks ago about declarations that Christine Kane had put together for her. And so some of these are duplicates of that. And so if you get your list and you find that we've skipped over a few, you will understand why. But today, I want to take you to Psalm 118, verse number 22. It says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is a great verse. I'd heard the verse, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." We had sung that a number of decades, actually. And then they came out with a more modified version, a more contemporized version, and we sang that until we wore it out. But I got to looking at this particular, the context of the declaration, this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I got to looking at the context of it and found out that it did not have anything to do with the circumstances of the day. It had everything to do with who was in charge of the day. The declaration that Pastor Craig has made here is, he says, I am named by God, not labeled by man. I am named by God, not labeled by man. Now, I will tell you, not if you contact us and ask us for a copy of these, we'll be more than happy to send them to you free of charge. You can call us at 321-454-4263. You can email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. You can come by the church where we have some printed out. You can mail a request to us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can contact us in any of those manners, and we'll be glad to send you out these declarations. But some of these scriptures that I'm telling you are things that God has laid upon my heart that reinforce this point. And this passage in Psalm 118 is one of those. You see, man has a label for us. Man likes to categorize everybody. Man likes to put people in silos and in little subcategories, and you've got to fit nice and neat inside one of their categories. And so they like to label people winners and losers. They like to label them tall and short, rich and poor. They like to label them in all sorts of different capacities that gives some sort of favor or distinction to one group or the other. But this distinction says that I am named by God. It goes back to that declaration that we saw earlier, that God knew us while we were in our mother's womb. I am known even before I was born. We talked about that out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, that God knew us. You can see that God has a different declaration over people because of names that were changed. You see, biblical names were not something in the Bible that said, you know what, daddy was named this and granddaddy was named this, and so we're going to name Sonny Boy this here. It wasn't that. They didn't just name children names that they thought sounded good or wanted to give them a unique sounding name. When Jewish people named their children, they were speaking destiny over their life. And so you can go back to Genesis chapter 29 and 30 and 31, and you can see when Leah is having her kids, she took a slightly different tact to it. God renamed Abram Abraham, which means father of many nations. He renamed Sarai, Sarah, which means princess of God, Isaac, prince of God. And so you and I, we can see Isaac Laughter, Israel's prince of God. Just so you didn't think that I was perfect, I want to make sure that I throw in a blooper every now and then so that you don't think that I'm perfect. A lot of times people think that pastors are perfect. They don't ever make mistakes. I want you to know nothing could be further from the truth. So Leah took a different approach, and she began to name her kids about what was going on in her life. And so Reuben was Sia's son, you know, that was the firstborn that Jacob had had. And she thought that because she had produced a son, an heir for Jacob, that he would love her. And then there was Simeon, and surely God has heard my prayer and has given me another son. Levi meant attached, and surely God will become attached to me now. And after three different kids and naming them and hoping that this was going to be the transitional event that would cause Jacob to choose to love her, she said, this isn't working. And she began to try a different tact. And the tact that is she named that fourth child that she had, a boy, his name was Judah. And Judah means praise. And if you go back and you look in Genesis, you will see that Leah makes a declaration when Judah is born and says, this time I am going to praise the Lord. It was a transitional event in Leah's life, not because things changed between her father and her, and things didn't change for the positive between her sister and herself. Things did not really change that much between Jacob and her. There was still, Rachel was the favorite and Leah was the less favored. Rachel was the more beautiful of the two, but yet Leah was the more fertile. She was the more productive. But she said, you know what? I am tired of waiting on other people to give me a label because they see something in my life that is going to merit their favor. I'm just going to start praising God. And she goes on and names another child, Gad. Look how fortunate I am. And Asher, look how happy I am. And so there's all of these things that are taking place, and Leah's life was transformed because she chose to start labeling things as far as her relationship with God. She said, this time I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God for this kid. You know what? I encourage you parents out there to start speaking favor over your kids and over your grandkids and say, you know what, God, I am thankful for this child. I am thankful for this grandchild. I am thankful for this job. You know, whatever you might have going on in your life, if it is not being labeled by men the way that you want it to be labeled, you start speaking declarations over it that reflect how God feels about it. You say, how are you relating all this? Well, Psalm 118 said that Jesus was the stone which the builders rejected. They put a great big label on him that said, we reject you. You are not who we think you say that you are. We don't think that you are who you say that you are. And so we are going to reject you. If we don't reject you, there's the possibility that we could lose our position of authority. And so we are going to reject you. But it says that that label of rejection that men placed upon God was not the label that Jesus ends up bearing for all of eternity. Instead, it says he has become the chief cornerstone. The Bible declares that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the God who was and is to come. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. There's a whole lot of names there that are on that stone that has a great big rejected stamp up on it. And you and I today, I encourage you to speak what God says rather than what men have to say. It is tough when you are bombarded on a daily basis with just onslaught after onslaught of negative labels to not fall victim into identifying that way. But I want you to know that I would much rather declare what God has to say over my life than what anybody else does. Jesus, the God who saves. He told Zacharias and Elizabeth, he said, I want you to name your son John. Zacharias didn't believe. The time came, and you know, I always find this to be a very odd thing. The relatives of Zacharias and Elizabeth, because the husband couldn't speak, they thought that they had the right to name the child. And Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. His name is John. And they said, well, we'll just see about that. Let's find out from Zacharias what he has to say. You know, as far as I know, those relatives weren't the one that carried that baby around. Those relatives weren't the one that was carrying around all of the gossip that was going around about how the problem was with Elizabeth and all of that sort of stuff. They hadn't borne the brunt of all of the labels of rejection that she had dealt with, and now they want to take upon themselves the privilege of naming this child. And she said, no, this is what God said that his name, and they said, it doesn't fit. We'll find out from Zacharias. And Zacharias said, his name is John. And it was at that point in time when he called his son that which God spoke about his son. that all of a sudden his tongue was loosened and he began to speak forth the praises of God, and everyone marveled because he said, I'm going to identify my son by what God wants him to be identified as, not what men do. You know, in the New Testament, there was a guy by the name of Saul, and God changed his name to Paul. If you look in the Old Testament, Saul was the first king. He was the tallest of all of the people around. He stood head and shoulders above the rest of the people. He was much, much taller. And, you know, just like then, now we seem to think that that extra height somehow it makes you smarter or makes you more effective or makes you better or anything like that. But Saul, when he was anointed on the day of his inauguration, they had to go find him because he was hiding. It wasn't a position that he had sought out. But a little bit later, he thought that he had become entitled, and he began trying to seek out and to kill David because of the favor that David was experiencing. Saul actually means desirable. Desirable. Paul means little. And so when you see Paul's name changed in the New Testament, you see that he's no longer full of himself, but he has taken on the attitude of humility, because the scripture does say God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I want to tell you today that when you begin to name things the way that God wants them named, and you begin to declare over them the things that God has declared, for instance, we declare that Merit Assembly of God is blessed of the Lord. We declare that it is the place where the Word of God is going to be preached. It is going to be a place where people are going to be told the truth. That I've got a lady in the church, And she's talking to people in the community, and people in the community say, and your church doesn't say anything to you because of this going on or that and all of that. And she said, no. And she said, well, this person that she was having a conversation with said, you know, I don't know that, other churches would receive me that way. And, you know, quite frankly, she said, well, maybe you're at the wrong church. You know, this is a lady who asked me one time. She said, do you know my background? I said, no, I never gave any consideration to your background. All I know is that when you walked through the doors, that you are a candidate for being a child of God. And it is our privilege to introduce you to him and allow God to work in your heart and life to make you a passionate follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does God have to say about you? You are not an accident. You are created intentionally, and God has a purpose for you. Don't let men's label of rejection or failure or success or whatever label they want to put you deprive you of the declarations that God has for you. You are the blessed and highly favored of the Lord if you are a child of the living God. Because he is the chief cornerstone, this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes, and it's a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Because of who God says Jesus is, because of how the Father speaks about Jesus, that's what gives us the ability to rejoice in what today has to offer. You may be facing some challenges today, but I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes and look and see that is not a stranger up on the throne. That's your Father. That's your Heavenly Father who's sitting up on the throne, and he's not up there with his arms crossed or holding a staff in his hand just waiting to bat you out of his presence. He's there with his scepter extended to you, wanting to grant you access to the throne of grace that you can find help in time of need. I am named by God, not labeled by man. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is the beginning of the Beatitudes. Verse number 2 says, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's the declaration that I want to share with you, that you are the light of the world. You and I are reflecting the radiance, the light of Jesus Christ. He is the source of the light. We are very much a reflection of that light. And so I, one of my favorite things that I've ever ran across in my spiritual journey was how ancient refiners determined whether the metal that they were refining and purging and purifying, how they determined whether or not it was sufficiently purified and the dross removed from it. And the actual way that they determined that was if they could look into the liquid liquid metal, if they could see their reflection, and it was an accurate reflection, then they considered that it was sufficiently pure. You and I are called to reflect Jesus Christ to this world. And we are not supposed to be obscure. We are not supposed to be hidden. In fact, Matthew 5:14 says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so I want to call you forth today as a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ that this world so desperately needs. I want to call you out of obscurity, and I want you to take a much more visible role. That doesn't mean that you need to carry around your family Bible for people to know, hey, look at the size of that Bible. Now, I carry a large Bible. I carry it for preaching reasons, because I have one of the things that I like is to be able to look down at the page and know exactly where it is and not have to struggle to find where my text is, because I do a lot of eye contact when I'm preaching. I look at people, I look down at the word, I looked at people, and I look down at the word, and I like to be able to find it where it is. So I got a pretty good sized Bible, but you don't have to go to that extreme before people know that you're a Christian. They will know you are a Christian by your love one for another. They will know that you are a Christian by the difference in behavior. When I worked in retail, there was a short season where I sold furniture. And I had one particular customer that came in, and they were talking. They were going to make a big purchase. They were going to fill in an entire condominium. They needed everything, and they came in, and I showed them all around. I mean, we had entire condo packages and everything like that. We discussed upgrades and what was good and all of that sort of stuff. And this, there was an attempt to, by this person, to make an impact upon me, and I just refused to take the bait on the things that they were offering, and they just continued, and some of the things that they were saying, I won't repeat here on the air, and it was evident to those around them that that person just wasn't in there looking for furniture. And I'm not going to tell you what they said, but this went on visit after visit after visit, and finally they ended up buying a nightstand and you know, a couple of $100 and things like that. And while we were sitting there and we were writing up the sales receipt and things like that, they made one more comment. And I said, Do you know what my other job is? I mean, I sell furniture, but do you know what else I do for a living? And the person said, you have to be a preacher. You have to be a preacher. And up until that point in time, I had never mentioned a scripture verse to them. I had never said anything to them. Nobody else had dealt with them to let them know that I was a Christian. They just knew that there was something different about me because I hadn't participated in some of the open doors that they were throwing open, hoping to engage me in vulgar conversation, and I just refused to go in it. You are the light of the world. I believe it was Francis of Assisi that told a person that he was training, preach the gospel always and use words when necessary. Preach the gospel always and use words when necessary. I pray that as you go about this day, that any label that men have tried to put on you, that have tried to control you, limit you from seeking the destiny and the purpose that God has for you, or diminish your identity in Christ, I pray that you would reject that, that you would put the stamp of label and say, oh, I'm sorry, this must be misplaced. You must have meant this for you. Reject those. Recognize that God does not make inferior materials. He created you to be a person of purpose and destiny, and he intends to equip you for that. Identify yourself as the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then let's go out into this community this week and be light. Just be light. When I come into a room, the first thing that I notice is whether there's any light on in the room or not. And I pray that when you go out into the community, that the light of Jesus Christ will be reflected in you to where it lights up whatever atmosphere you go into. It'll light up your workplace. It'll light up your home. It'll be reflected by you when you go into retail establishments, wherever you go, amongst whomever you are. Don't ever look for a closet to hide in or a place where you don't reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Be light everywhere. Father, I just thank you right now. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are called and equipped by you to accomplish great and mighty things. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. And Lord, I pray that every person listening to this broadcast would adequately reflect the light and the love of Jesus Christ in their sphere of influence. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.